Thank you, Margo.
And of course, thanks to APHA and the PRSH section and all of you for choosing to come here rather than happy hour, the designation of your choosing. We're going to talk today about an ongoing research demonstration project that is entitled the Male Reproductive Health Project and the Impact of Clinic and Staff Interventions on Male Client Volume and STI Testing. First, my disclosure, I have no financial relationship with commercial interests, sad to say. Other authors on this project are Elizabeth Rink, who is a local researcher in the Montana area, David Johnson, who is a public health advisor at OPA and the project officer for this research activity, Sarah Goldenkranz, who's up on the stage with me, who's working on the data side of the project, Alfonso Carlone at our CODIA offices in Austin, Texas, and April Aravallo, who is also dealing with data in our Seattle office. I want to cover, to begin with, a few broad issues. This is a field-based research project with five grantees around the United States. They are Family Health Centers of San Diego, University Health Systems of San Antonio, Family Planning Council of Philadelphia, with Paul Whitaker, who's in the audience. Thank you, Paul. And Massachusetts Opportunity Council in Massachusetts, and finally, Planned Parenthood of Montana, which is the grantee that we'll be talking about today. And the issue really is, in this demonstration project, are we making any differences at all in terms of male access to family planning services? About 95% of U.S. family planning clinic clients are women. These are data from the federal Title X Family Planning Program. How many of you are familiar with Title X? Okay, that cut out at least 2 minutes of that boring background stuff. For the past 10 years, OPA has been doing a series of projects to try to address increasing men's access to reproductive health through family planning clinics. They've looked at identifying what exactly are male reproductive health services, and we will not get into that today. We don't have time. As well as monitoring female and male Title X family planning users and services through things like FPAR, the Family Planning Annual Report. In the last round of funding, 03 to 07, they identified some promising interventions. And beginning late 2008, in this current project, we were tasked at CODIA for implementing a specific set of interventions to increase male family planning client seeing and testing for STIs. We're assessing not only client outcomes, but also agency aggregate program outcomes, but we're not going to be talking about those today. Planned Parenthood of Montana has a number of federal Title X family planning service sites. They're a Title X grantee. The two intervention clinics are at Billings West and Missoula. There are four comparison sites, sort of non-equivalent comparison sites, in Great Falls, Helena, Kalispell, and Billings Heights. I also did not include a map of Montana because the screen's not large enough. Interventions began in 2009 at the two sites, Billings West and Missoula. Interventions were outreach via reproductive health clinics, female clients, which is generally referred to in the literature, at least the international literature, as inReach, and also plain standard outreach from the clinic staff to community-based organizations out around the locales of those two sites. We did clinic efficiency assessments to deal with stops and patient flow, because if they were going to be increasing males and they didn't have any more staff or any more hours in the day, the issue was how to make it happen. We did staff training on male exams as well as male culture. I'll leave it up to you to figure out what male culture is. We also dealt with modifying the clinic environment. That was more than my colleague David Johnson referred to as just changing the color of the paint on the walls, but also dealing with intake forms to make sure that both sexes are reflected in terms of questions being asked, materials in exam rooms, posters, making it more gender neutral. Planned Parenthood of Montana, at these two sites, decided to launch something that they referred to as Montana Men's Clinic. And they got a nice sign, which they put outside of these two clinics. They also have a Facebook page and a Twitter account, etc. The interesting thing is they made no changes to the clinic. They didn't make a special day for men to come for services. They didn't hire special staff to only deal with men. What they did is they put this sign up, and then they did a lot of outreach and inreach. So our objective is to assess impact of staff clinic and community interventions on male RH client census and STI services, and I'm going to focus on my favorites, which are chlamydia and HIV testing, and the issue of do the interventions work in terms of increasing male clients, increasing services, and also assessing the possible impact on female clients. Data sources. Planned Parenthood has an administrative information system that we access through IRB-approved procedures. De-identified male and female visit records were routed to us. From the two experimental sites, we had almost 4,000 male family planning visits for the period 2004-10. For the four comparison clinics, we had about 2,000 male visits. We looked at chlamydia and HIV testing by client characteristics such as demographics, as well as a new versus continuing client status for a visit to identify those visits that were with young men or men of any age who were new to the sites. Time period involved was either pre-intervention 04 to 08 and post-intervention 2009 and 10. We have 2011 data. It's not included here. And also the condition, experimental versus comparison. First, some general points about the comparison and experimental sites. They did differ in terms of their age composition. The comparison sites, in the next to last column, were more likely to be seeing older men, ages 30 and older, with about a third of those visits in that age group, compared to about one in five visits, 30 or older, among the experimental. Montana is a fairly white state, and so is the client population. It was about 9 out of 10 visits for white males. Insurance status, the groups did not vary much, and neither did they in terms of client visit type. Were there intervention differences in terms of the volume of males seen? Before the intervention, 04 to 08, in the comparison sites, they averaged about 252 male visits per year. Afterward, in 09 and 2010, it jumped to 379, which was about a 50% increase. However, in the experimental sites, it went from 437 visits on average per year to 838, a 92% increase. So, did the intervention work? We think it did. The experimental sites almost doubled their male visits. Comparison sites also increased, but not nearly as much. We have something to say about that later as we discuss it. In terms of intervention differences on STI testing, that first line, chlamydia overall, in terms of the percent of visits where a chlamydia test was done, in the comparison sites, before to after intervention went from 42% to 50% of visits getting a chlamydia test, about a 19% increase. In the experimental sites, it went from 54 to 74%, nearly a double percent increase, 37%. Interestingly, in the comparison sites, pre to post, testing of adolescents actually went down, whereas it did increase in the experimental sites. And I want to also draw your attention to testing among men 30 or older increased nearly 60% in the comparison sites from 22 to 35% of visits and 33% in the experimental sites, from about half to about two-thirds, 49 to 65%. Finally, in terms of HIV testing, it was interesting to find that there was a nearly 100% increase in the comparison sites pre to post, which actually outdistanced the increase in testing among experimental site male clients from 24 to 43%. In terms of multivariate results, we were happy to see, in terms of chlamydia testing, that compared to men 30 or older, there was an increased likelihood that the sites would be testing younger guys. And we're going to get to a little chlamydia positivity data later, which pleases me. It's the right direction in terms of what we know about chlamydia among men. In terms of race ethnicity, blacks were much more likely to be tested, as were Hispanics, but not the case for American Indians. One of the limitations in these administrative information systems is we don't have any background characteristics around risk factors in these data. So we don't know exactly why blacks or Hispanics were being tested more. Could be empirically based in terms of risk criteria or clinical signs. We just don't know it. Client visit status. Those guys who came in as new patients were much more likely to be tested for chlamydia compared to those who were continuing clients. And we also had an interaction between time period and condition where we found that in the experimental group, in the post-intervention period, there were much higher likelihood of being tested than in the others. Just to show you a little more about this, this is chlamydia testing by year and condition. And as you can see, in 2004 and 5, the blue line is comparison group and the green line is experimental. They were each screening about half of their male client visits. And then by 2007 in the comparison group, it fell to about 36%. In the experimental, it was still stable, about testing one out of every two visits. Beginning in 2008, both groups began to increase. However, the increase was steeper, more significant among the experimental sites than it was among the comparison sites. One reason we think this happened is Montana State Department of Health had a grant beginning in 2007 to help provide resources to family planning clinics like Planned Parenthood to do mail services. And we think that those resources were part of sort of this effect in the comparison group that increased their chlamydia testing. But I'll also note that providing the resources is sort of a modest intervention, whereas if you add beyond resources to training and environmental change and dealing with inreach and outreach, you got what I would say is a greater impact. So did the intervention work? We did see an increase in reproductive health services for males, particularly among, at the intervention sites, those males 20 to 29. Comparison sites saw a more modest increase. What about female Planned Parenthood or Montana clients? The issue is, if you do these interventions and increase males, will it have a negative impact on the female census? So what happened at the intervention sites? These two charts, the left-hand chart is for experimental clinics, and it shows four bars, one each for 2007, 8, 9, and 10, in terms of the number of clients per year, female clients, seen at the experimental sites. We've set the y-axis so that the 2007 data equals 100%. So those bars are showing the change from 2007 through 08, 09, and 10. And on the experimental side, you can see things were stable to slightly increased by 2010 compared to before the intervention in 07, 08. In contrast, in the comparison sites, female census actually went down about 12% between 2007 to 2010. So, the experimental sites where we did this intensive intervention and they saw more males, female family planning client census was stable. Comparison sites went down. The interventions to increase male reproductive health clients and services did not undermine family planning clinics' mission to provide RH access to women in need. We have some data on chlamydia positivity among male family planning clients from the experimental sites for 07 to 2010. Out of almost 2,000 tests, the first take-home point is it was nearly 14% chlamydia positivity. That's not shabby. In terms of the distribution by age or visit type, the left-hand chart shows positivity for adolescents 20 to 24-year-olds, 25 to 29-year-olds, and those older than 29. And we found it interesting that the trend here actually mirrors much of what we see, although even higher, in female family planning clients, with the highest levels among adolescents. I'd like to again remind you that the comparison sites increased chlamydia screening among men, particularly among men 30 and older. which is exactly the population, at least according to our data here, that you really should not prioritize. The second point, the right-hand chart, shows positivity for new clients and those who are coming back for continuing visits. Certainly 14.4% positivity for new clients is significantly high. What we found interesting was nearly 12% from men who were continuing clients who came back to the clinic for services. Evidently, sometime between being a new client and a continuing client, they had sex again, perhaps with somebody else. So it is an ongoing issue that you really can't resolve just by an initial comprehensive exam and STI testing. Some study limitations. These are administrative information systems. They don't include who men are having sex with, risk behaviors, clinical signs, etc. We do not have client IDs. Despite our efforts, our IRB was less than enthused about sharing that information from the clinics to us. We have visit-level data. The intervention activities at the experimental, in fact, as well as the comparison sites, were not measured. We really don't know dosage here. And frankly, we could not assess what male or female clients thought about the interventions. We have no client data from surveys or key informant interviews. Some conclusions: interventions significantly increased male family planning client census and chlamydia testing. They did not impact HIV testing, in part because we also found out that the state was doing a family planning HIV integration project during this period. So these clinics were also encouraged to do HIV testing at all sites in the state. The innovation did not negatively affect clinics' female client census, but we don't know at this point the breadth of services these women were receiving and whether it impacted the services they got, but it certainly did not negatively impact how many were seen. That male reproductive health client STI burden is significant, and the results support using local data to inform male services. And best of all, Planned Parenthood of Montana has decided to expand these innovations into the other comparison clinics since the results were so positive, which I think is actually the best take-home message here. Acknowledgements from Planned Parenthood: wish Jill and Jerry and Kelly and Joe and Lacey could be here in San Francisco. It's certainly warmer than Montana. I want to thank David Johnson at OPA for many things, certainly as being the funders, but as being a great project officer, as well as introducing us to Lee Warner at the CDC Division of Reproductive Health, who has been just a real supporter and a really smart guy. Thanks.